Well, we're turning then this morning to that passage that we read earlier. If you have a Bible with you, if you want to turn to the prophecy of Isaiah. And we're in chapter 7. And if you were here when we began this series, you remember that we said we're going to be coming to the book of Isaiah, Old Testament prophecy, 500 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus, to see many passages that clearly set before us the Lord Jesus himself. We know that Christ is in all the scriptures, but particularly in the book of Isaiah, we find is set with such clarity and such wonder that it would be a helpful study to just come to the book of Isaiah and look at these passages. Well, today, in chapter 7 of Isaiah, we have a verse that's very familiar to us, a verse that clearly speaks of the Lord Jesus, speaks of his coming. Chapter 7, verse 14, here was a sign that the Lord gave to Ahaz the king. He says, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, of course, means God with us. God with us. And of course, as we look back in time now, we see the fulfillment of that. We see there coming the Lord Jesus coming there in Bethlehem. We see the angel coming to Mary and speaking to her about that which she was about to undergo. And she, of course, was puzzled. How can this be that she should bear a son? She said, "I don't know a man." And, of course, how the angel declared to her that the power of the highest should overshadow her. The Holy Spirit is the one that would be the one at work bringing around that conception. The one that should be born of her we call the Son of God. And here we have 500 years before that took place, this prophecy, the Lord Jesus prophesied of his coming to a virgin to be conceived, to bear a son, no ordinary son, but of course, Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God. As we come to this passage this morning, I want us to notice something else in this whole account that is really quite remarkable. We find that to be a precious verse. I trust as those who know and love the Lord, it thrills us to read of the Lord's coming, the virgin birth, a wonder that, as we sang in one of our hymns, that the Lord of glory should leave behind his starry throne, leave behind all his glory, and humble himself to be born into this world, to live as a man in this world, to be God and man. There's a mystery there, but there's a wonder there that he should do that to save sinners, that he should become a man, that he might represent us, to be truly man, that he might then, as a perfect man, bear the sins of his people. So God and man, one person, and then willingly suffering at the cross of Calvary. And we're thrilled by that. We should be, if we're those who love the Lord and understand that that's what Christ came to do. Nothing can take away the glory and the wonder of that. And this verse here, you think a verse here, a prophecy of the miracle that would take place all those years later, that such a prophecy is so precious to us. We find these gems in the Word of God. It thrills us. This was God's eternal plan. It wasn't something that God came up with as he came along and said, "Well, how am I going to deal now with the rebellious people?" We read in the scriptures that in eternity past, the Lord had purposed that this would be his plan. And all the way through the Old Testament, beginning right at the fall in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve had sinned against God and were thrown out of the garden, there was a promise there. The promise of the coming Messiah, the seed of the woman that would one day come and crush Satan's head and deal with all the consequence of our sin. Promise right there, and then all the way through Scripture, increasing revelation about this promised Messiah, the Son of God. And here, in the middle here, of Isaiah, we have this prophecy of something of the person that would come, the seed of the woman we see before. But oh, Emmanuel, God with us. Now what's remarkable about this passage is that that promise, that prophecy, comes to an ungodly king, a rebellious king, an unbelieving king. You think something as precious as this would have been reserved for a precious people, the Lord's people, people that loved all the promises and anticipated the Lord's dealings with them. But it comes here in the midst of a time when the nation of Judah were in rebellion against God. And Ahaz, the king here, was an ungodly king. And we read, as you read through the passage, we understood that he was an unbelieving king and he didn't want to know these things. And he turned away from the Lord. And yet, this message comes at this time. Is that not a wonderful reminder of a God who continues in his mercy to proclaim all these overtures of love, reminding a fallen people, a rebellious people, it goes into all the world. And this gospel, this good message is to be preached to all, whether they will hear or not. And here is the Lord sending a message to Ahaz and to the kingdom of Judah and saying, God has promised to send a savior. God is a God who is a God who has made covenant promises, promises that he cannot break and he will not break. You might be an unbeliever, Ahaz. You might be rebellious. You might despise God's promises. But God is a faithful, covenant-keeping God. And he won't fail. Those are things that should thrill us to be reminded that God in his mercy continues to proclaim this message of his nature, of his person, that is a God who has promised to send a Saviour, and he's kept his promises. And we can see all the way down to the ages of time, throughout the history of Scripture, we come to the fulfillment of these mighty promises. So there's something remarkable here in this passage, that this message had come to Ahaz. Ahaz, you remember at the beginning of the book of Isaiah, we're reminded that Isaiah's ministry took place through the kingdoms, successive kingdoms, or kings in Judah. There was Jotham and Uzziah, Uzziah, then Jotham, and then Ahaz, and then Hezekiah. Now, Uzziah and Jotham were good kings, the scripture says. They had their failings, and we read of those, but they were good kings that honoured the Lord. There in the middle is Ahaz. So his father and his grandfather had honoured the Lord, and yet here's a king who has rebelled. His son, the next king, is Hezekiah, perhaps one of the greatest kings that the nation had known, a godly man. Much of the rest of the book of Isaiah is centred upon the ministry of Isaiah in the time of Hezekiah. But here in the middle we have Ahaz, an ungodly king and a rebellious king. We find that here, don't we, that here when the message comes from Isaiah, from the Lord, and he says it is a promise for you. He says he's in fear. Remember how the passage opened? They heard about the enemy coming into the nation, and it was a confederacy between Syria and the northern nation of Israel, and they joined together and they were coming to attack Judah, the southern kingdom. And it says,